Hey, Heart Nation. It is your host, Carla J of Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration, where it is your number one podcast for heart-changing inspirational conversations. And y'all, the wait is over. I am so excited that today we got the pleasure of talking to, you know who she is, the goddess of Atlanta, the queen of spoken word, deaf comedy, I keep wanting to say deaf comedy, deaf poetry jam icon, and she is also a Tony Award winner. So y'all put your hands together and let's give it up for the one and only Georgia Mee. Yay! Hey, Georgia Mee.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, I want to make sure, I think you're freezing for me a little bit. Am I freezing for you? Hey.
Okay. I fell hard. But hey, girl, you good?
Okay, it's coming back a little bit. Okay. I think I was too excited.
Carla, you hear me? Do you hear me, Carla?
Yeah.
Okay, you hear me?
Yeah. Don't move. I think you frozen. Hey, South Side of Chicago. Can you hear me, Georgia? Georgia, me? Okay, hold on.
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, hold on. Let me remove you and come back. Let me bring you back. Hold on. Okay, what about now?
I hear you. I heard you before.
Okay. All right, cool. So thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Shout out to Nisa for bringing it together.
Yes, to Miss Nisa Shabazz. Thank you for bringing us together. And we're going to just kick it right off. Georgia Mee, I know that you have been having some tributes to the one and only Malcolm Jamal Warner. So I just want to give a homage to him real quick before we get started. I know that from looking at you on his podcast and also listening to some of your other YouTubes and things like that, you all seem pretty close. You know, you want to just take a moment to give him a shout out or anything?
That thing about me, everybody who knew him felt like they was, you know, very close to him, or people thought he was very close to him, because I mean, we text all the time. We had amazing shows together. He came to town before he lived in Atlanta. He would always invite me to the shows or have me open. And when I got sick, he was there. One of the people encouraging me and being his amazing self. So, we grateful for Theo. Theo was a bomb character, a bomb part of our life. But I'm so grateful to God that he let me know who Malcolm Jamal Warner really was and is and will always be. So, he was a dope brother, one of the dopest brothers ever. Oh, God, I wish we could have known how dope he was. For real, for real.
He seemed like it. I was just so happy to see the podcast and see that you were on there. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So how did you all meet?
Girl, Deaf Poetry many years ago. I had did every season of Deaf Poetry. So people kind of knew me a little bit in the poetry world. And he came to one of the tapes and he walked up behind me after I didn't see his show. I don't know if he saw my show that night or not, but he walked up behind me at the airport and said, "Nigga," in my ear. And I turned around and it's Malcolm Jamal Warner. You know, in my mind, I'm going, Theo, you know what I'm saying? And we stayed at the airport. and we had lunch at Burger King. I tell everybody that was my date with Theo at the airport. We thought we were on the same plane to Atlanta, but we weren't. We always kept in contact. And then when he moved to Atlanta, and, you know, I got to, you know, meet his wife and his daughter, and he's just an awesome brother. I love him. I'm so grateful to God. He let me, you know, a lot of people who are famous, they let you down when you meet them. He was better than I could have dreamed.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to meet him and share some of that with us. So I also want to talk to you about one of the things that I love about you from looking at some of your information on YouTube and listening to your poems. You just are unapologetically you. How did this come about? First of all, how did you even get on Deaf Poetry Jam and have the courage to even do all of this? How did this start?
I either was going to let the world crush me or I was going to be what I wanted to be. That's your option. That's it. And not saying I don't get knocked down sometimes, not saying I don't, I'm not disappointed by people that I love and trust, but I know that I'm one of God's greatest. I'm a reflection of the Most High. And I've always had that mind state when, even when I was little, I knew I was here to serve. So I have a great purpose, always done had purpose. So when you have purpose and you know, you got a job to do, you don't really let stuff stop you from doing your job. You feel what I'm saying? So, getting on Deaf Poetry, everything in my life has been manifestation for the most part. I feel like everything is manifestation. I said, I want to meet Russell Simmons. 3 years later, I was meeting Russell Simmons. You know what I'm saying? Was it 3 years?
Was he over Deaf Poetry Jam at the time? What was the significance of wanting to meet him?
Well, I wanted to meet him. Let me tell you my exact words, how this manifested. I was watching a show on BET called Biographies in Black, and they was featuring Russell Simmons. And I just loved his story. And I said, I looked at God and I said, God, I want to meet Russell Simmons. He like model bitches. I'm a bad bitch. He gonna love me.
Okay.
Those are the exact words. Because I knew he had vision. A lot of people don't have vision. And I wanted to meet him because I saw what he created and what he could do. And he inspires me. Even when I work with him, he would give me nuggets of wisdom. You know, he would say, you me, but you got the woman's disease. And I'd be like, what the fuck? And I get all offended. And he'd be like, hold on, you want to do everything your damn self. Once you learn how to delegate, you'll run the world. So that nuggets like that always encouraged me as far as my position, because also I've always been respected as a woman, while a lot of women are dismissed or like arm candy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not respected. I didn't see many women being respected. And that's very important to me. And so I'm grateful. But he wasn't the one that really did it for me. Working with Stan Lathan, our director.
Okay.
Learning from him. Grateful for his counsel. The way he was open to us. We created that show. It's the first show in Broadway history that was written and performed by its players.
That's first show. That's history right there. History.
But they don't talk about it. And then in the impact of our show, because we wasn't talking about fluff, we were actually changing mind states and creating real influence for your betterment, for your expansion. That's dangerous. That's dangerous in America. You feel me? That's why they shut it down. Ain't got nothing to do with nobody. We was beating Jay Leno every Friday night. Friday night.
Friday night when people mostly in the club or out doing other stuff, but people was watching y'all. People was watching you. All right now.
So yeah, it all. I'm a big Goody Mob fan. Goody Mob disciple. Goody Mob is a group out of Atlanta, comprised of Cujo, T-Mo, Gip, and CeeLo Goody of the Dungeon family. And CeeLo says, "You never fail when you try." So everything I've done is just me trying. I saw a number in a magazine at a meeting I was at, and it said something about poetry. Mm. Now, this is a magazine that I just see sitting somewhere, and they said, "Hey, a guy from New York who do poetry had that magazine," because it was a New York magazine in Atlanta. And this is, you know, 99, 2000, something like 98, something, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I say, "You mean to tell me somebody from somewhere else came here to do some poetry? I got to find out how they did that." So I called the number. It was the wrong number, but I met somebody who used to manage poets.
Wow. I see how this is going.
Everything is divine. Now, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not from the ATL. I'm from the ATL, but that's fancy. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. So when this man from New York City is trying to meet me, I'm like, he gonna do something to me. So I don't meet with him. He called me 3 years later.
How many years later?
He was 3 years later, not Russell. Russell was 3 months. Let me get there, because I was like, that don't sound right. He was 3 years later. He called me and said, "You still doing poetry?" I said, "Yeah, at this time, I'm the captain of the Atlanta Poetry Slam team, getting ready to go to Seattle." He say, send me a video. I said, "For what?" He said, "They finna do deaf poetry." I said, "Oh, okay." I had heard that about 5, 10, 20 times by that point. I had sent videos to Fat Farm, all kind of stuff. So I'm like, here we go again. But I'm on the slam team. I tell my slam team, my friend who's also our slam master, we all record the video. On that video, out of 3,900 tapes, with several people on each tape, I was one of the 40, and my friend Abyss was one of the 40 to be chosen for the first season. So that was from when we did the video to when 3 months later we got the call. And then I met Russell, and then after the first show, that first night, Russell came backstage and asked me and Suhail Hamad, "Y'all want to go to Aspen?" And we like, "What?" He was like, "For the comedy festival, because, you know, you can't trust these people, you know." So we was like, "Yeah." And from that point on, me and Suhail Hamad was like the catalyst members of the Deaf Poetry Jam production.
Wow.
It's been a whirlwind ever since. It's been amazing. I knew that poetry would take me everywhere I wanted to go, though. This is my wall, girl. I like the collage. You see my mama, my poetry mama, Nikki Giovanni over there?
Okay, I see it now.
Yeah, girl. This is chosen, and different poets that go rest on right there. Just different poets and artists I love. I ain't got no white people but Joan Rivers, because I love Joan Rivers. I love a free white woman with some sense. So, you know, a lot of my white sisters vote against their own interests. It's real sad. But I also understand the brainwashing that has been done in America to every demographic. Everybody is really a victim, except the wealthy. And that's the truth.
Come on now. Because they can afford not to be a victim.
Yeah.
You speaking right there. Somebody put in the chat, "Bars." You speaking right now, you know, because this, so many people, I'm just saying so many people, but some people are so scared. Before, the poetry was it, you know, just like our rap, you know, before they were really telling stories, really talking about the struggle and things like that, empowerment. But we didn't got away from that a long way. And you knew this was going to take you somewhere. I wouldn't have never thought that poetry could take somebody as far as it has taken you. And that's what I'm talking about, living yourself unapologetically. just like now. You telling it like it is. How can others live like that?
I got this going like this. I have this on this charger, and I got to make sure the phone stay cold, cool, because these things overheat. I'm like, God, you pay your phone off, and then it start messing up. I just want to say it's a scam. It's a scam. But anyway, no, I think that we're inspirations. Everybody talk about Jesus. You're Jesus. You're a child of God. You're inspiration to everybody that sees you. You don't know who watching you. You don't know how this move has taught somebody else to do that better or greater or even try. And that's how I live. And I want to empower people to do that and be that for each other. You don't have to be famous to be great.
You don't have to be famous to be great. I love that.
And to have a legacy is long lasting based off the deeds and the work you do. People remember, Maya said, people remember how you make them feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that people also remember the deeds you do. You know, it is amazing that when you stranded on the road or when your car, your battery dead, who come get you, and always reliable. You know what I'm saying? Be a good person. And that's what are supposed to be, like the people who help culture, enhance culture, influence culture. And poets are rappers also. Right. But they aren't, everybody's not really a rapper. They're a rarer. They're a rhythm and rhymer. They're not, they don't have any poetry in their raps. There's no poetry. There's no concept, no soul, no point, no mission. That's not poetry. It don't teach. That's you rhyming, shout. You killing it though. You got punchlines. Punchlines for days. Okay, great. But it don't mean anything.
Right.
That's how they distorted us. That's how we're at war right now. And we don't even realize it. We don't realize that we're being attacked through our art, and we don't even realize it.
Wow. You speaking, sister. You are speaking. You the queen of the spoken word, but you are the queen of the truth. You are telling it like it is. Out in the audience, we got Nisa Shabazz says, shout out to Amina Griot. I know I'm saying the name wrong. Afrocentric.
Amina Griot. Yes.
For hosting a lot of poetry events hosted by you. Are you still hosting poetry events?
I got one coming up in October with Queen Sheba. It's the 10-year anniversary of Poetry versus Hip Hop. I do a lot. I mean, I'm hosting one in December. God is a woman that amazing poetry superstar named Kyra J is throwing here in Atlanta. I occasionally host here and there around the city. You can't be somewhere in your city on a regular basis and make the kind of money you want if you're accessible like that.
Okay. Break that down. So
it's hard for me to command $1,000 if you can go see me for $20 down the street.
Okay, I got you.
And I have a Tony, a Emmy, a Kaumba, a BAFTA, my own day. Like, we not playing with it. Why should you be able to see me unless I'm making the bulk at that dough for paying $20? You feel right. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just not fiscally intelligent.
Right. That's business.
But I work all the time. You got to. And I love. And I mean, at any given moment, do my thing and support the scene. You know what I'm saying? So, but like Sheba runs her business very well. She's also one of my best friends. And
yeah, it's going out.
It's shutting down. My phone is shutting down. Phone is shutting.
We love you. We love you. Thank you all, everybody, for joining. Georgia Mee was that's why her phone is shutting down, because she was giving it up. She was telling it like it was and is. And I love all the comments in there. Thanks for everybody for joining in. I see Shanice said, let her get her poetry catalog together. Dora said, hey, Auntie said, speak on it. I came at the right time. Queen Sugar, Josh said, they remember those bars too. Yes, yes. And Nisa, thank you for putting us together and just reaching out. I'm so grateful, and I can't wait for all the other things we got planned. That Nisa Shabazz, I just want to give you a shout out. You know, she said, I got some more people for you, sister, queen, so we can support each other. And I appreciate that so, so much. And I can't wait to have you on the show too. You are going to be on the show as well as a guest, and I'm excited about that. And Queen Sugar said, thank you, Georgia Mee, for sharing some nuggets. So I just want to encourage everyone, just like Georgia Mee said, live unapologetically you. Don't stand behind the crowd. You don't have to be famous to be great. It's the little things that you do. Helping somebody out with a spare tire, helping somebody out at the grocery store. I don't know, your neighbor, the kids, whatever it is. Remember that you don't have to be famous to be great. And that's how you can shine with no apologies. All right, y'all. All right, Heart Nation. Thanks for everything. You all have a great night, and we'll see you soon. Take care.